You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Afternoon Drive with Mongani Bingwa.
Live.
Online.
The 702 app.
DSTV.
And 92.7 and 106 FM.
It is 8 minutes after 4 o'clock. Of course, we'll get you some of the inquiry as soon as we're able to get back to it. We know that Minister Lynn Brown is due to give her testimony after months of deflecting, after months of saying she didn't know, she was being misled, she was made to lie. And it seems almost everyone who's come before that parliamentary inquiry has contradicted what the minister has said. So we'll try and give you an update in terms of what she is telling the MPs and the kinds of grilling that she is going to get will make for riveting listening, no doubt. Joining us now on the line is the deputy editor of the Financial Mail, and he's been at the center of uncovering the rot at Eskom in particular, and of course state-owned enterprises. Sikonathi Mantshantsha, good afternoon to you, and thank you for your time.
Greetings, Bongani. Greetings, Sikonathi.
I'm thinking of one of the things you tweeted a little earlier today, that Eskom has had seven chief executive officers in the past 6 years, and you're calling them thief executive officers, and you're saying they're all too rich to have earned their money legitimately.
Certainly, and by the way, not all of those people, I said some of them were not chief executive, but were thief executive officers.
Yeah.
And indeed, their earnings are public material. You can see them on the Eskom website, and then you compare the lifestyles they lead, and you can just see something is wrong here.
I mean, even now, what astounds me is that the president insists there's no state capture. I mean, even Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma has admitted that there is, such a thing as state capture. He seems to be the only one who's still saying there isn't such.
Bongani, you speak Xhosa very well. So, ikaka aliziva kunuka. You can translate that into the English language.
The skunk cannot, smell its own stink, its own stench.
There you go. It will always deny that something is stinking. And that's exactly what's happening here with Jacob Zuma.
But we're hearing explosive testimony, and I mean, how much longer can he dismiss these allegations against him? Because we're hearing specific things now. We're hearing about dates, about times, about who was there. And how extraordinary, you also tweeted today that what you were hearing from Zola Tsotsi were some of the things he told you off the record. How extraordinary is it that the former SAA chair was having an influence and a hand at what was happening at Eskom?
That's absolutely the thing, Bongani. So Jacob Zuma will carry on and deny and mock people like Zola Tsotsi and those who will accuse him of things, because he knows there's absolutely no legal consequences for this, because there's no prosecution agents in this country. He knows there's also no political consequences, because the ANC has proven the ANC to be toothless over the past 10 years. And these things that are being said today in Parliament, all of those people, and definitely many of them, I have spoken to over the past 3 years about exactly what they are now testifying about. Zola Tsotsi refused in two meetings in February for me to quote him directly saying the things that he's saying, and he did say that he would be only free to say them when he knows he's got the protection of a legal system like Parliament. And he said time would come for him to be able to say those. And I couldn't write the story at that point in time, because I just could not go with his word alone, and he was declining to be on the record. So there we have it. Now he has the freedom and the space to say those things, and he is saying them. And I must tell you, he was quite nervous on the two occasions I met him somewhere in Johannesburg. Very nervous and very afraid. He admitted today that he had been intimidated or felt intimidated by the president's involvement in this matter.
And of course, Minister Brown is now being fingered directly in terms of lists that were given by her, and it would appear having the approval of Gupta associate Salim Essa. She's consistently denied everything, saying, "Angaz, angaz, angaz, I was misled, I was lied to." How much longer can she put up that front?
She will also put that front up as long as Jacob Zuma is president of the country and her boss, and for as long as nobody has arrested her and put her on the dock. Bongani, what will be very interesting here, finally, when we do have someone willing to prosecute these people, you would, I can assure you, a plea bargain arrangement between amongst these people, including Brian Molefe and Arnold Singh and Machela Koko, that's where everything will come crumbling down. But unfortunately, that situation is still some time off, because Sean Abrams is not even interested in doing his job. So the people will keep mocking us and laughing at us and denying until such time one of them is placed on the dock and has to answer to the crime that is, to the treasonous crime that has happened at Eskom and indeed throughout the state.
It's of course been very encouraging to see the MPs grilling some of the people that have come before them to give this information. And whilst that's good to see, and I suppose is a sign of a functioning democracy, what happens with this information? I mean, do we just sort of watch it and say it's good television, it's good radio, and then?
It's not meant to be entertainment. It really shouldn't be entertainment. What should now happen is that Parliament has got the powers to put corrective action in place. Parliament has got the powers to suddenly sanction the president. Parliament has been trying the ANC itself has tried to get rid of Jacob Zuma through votes of no confidence in Parliament and outside Parliament. If anything, now this is the evidence that unite all the parties, and definitely a Zimbabwe style no confidence vote in the president is what can happen if there is political will. But at the moment, we know there is none of that.
But the Portfolio Committee has the power to send these issues to court. They surely can prosecute people for perjury, for example. I mean, they have a number of punitive measures they can pursue.
It certainly can pursue only perjury charges. Remember, those people are now under the protection of Parliament, the privilege. It can only prosecute perjury. Let's take an example. If Lynn Brown is lying now, and I'm saying if she's lying now in Parliament and they catch her out, they can only prosecute her for lying. Someone else will have to investigate the allegations that Zola Tsotsi presented. Will have to gather evidence from Zola Tsotsi and from other people and then prosecute a criminal case. That is different from a perjury case where Parliament itself takes action. But what Parliament can do is perhaps change the law to deny the president that privilege of just appointing willy-nilly ministers as unfit as Lynn Brown, who go right ahead and appoint questionable people like Zola Tsotsi and Brian Molefe and Machela Koko, all of those people. That's what Parliament can do, but that's not an event, Bongani, it's a process.
All right, Deputy Editor of the Financial Mail, Sikhonathi Manjanja, on the line there in Johannesburg. I mean, it's really, really extraordinary, because as much as we can all get excited about the revelations that we are hearing, exactly as Sikhonathi says, this isn't just entertainment. There have to be consequences. That's really going to be the test of whether our democracy is functioning as it should. It can't just be shock, shock, horror, surprise, and then nothing. Move on as if nothing's happened. Something's got to give. There have to be consequences for these dastardly deeds.